Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Ron, listening in Miami, Florida. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, we know that God loves the Jews just as much as anybody else. I, myself, I'm from a Jewish family, been a Christian for about 40 years. I just wanted to know if I could get some, just a few key scriptures from you, and if you agree on this point that the Jews and Israel today are not any more chosen than anybody else. They were chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. But I hold, and I believe for many years, that they're not any more chosen any more than anybody else. But if you have a few key scriptures on this, I'd like to get that from you.
Well, first of all, I think that the point that we should make at the very beginning in addressing a question like that is the promise God made to Abraham. That promise was that I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And the point that should be made here is that these blessings pertain not simply to a faithful remnant of ethnic Israel, but to true Israel, to people from every person who through faith have been adopted into the family of God. This is the point of understanding that you find throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, those like Rahab, or those like Ruth, or those like the very people that looked on and saw Esther saving the Jews from certain destruction, they were considered Jews. They were considered true Israel. In fact, in Esther, you have the very sentiment expressed. On that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. Now, they didn't do so by changing their birth mother. They did so because they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore they were drawn into all the types and shadows that ultimately pointed forward to Jesus Christ. So in the forefuture, the promise that God made to Abraham was fulfilled when the children of Israel entered the promised land. In the far future, the promise is typologically fulfilled in the Lord, who is the locus of the land. And in the final future, the promise of the land will be fully, it will be finally consummated when paradise lost is reconstituted as paradise restored. So, we have to understand that Canaan was typological of a renewed cosmos. It looked forward to something. And that is true with respect to the people of God. The people of God were called to be a shining light upon a hill, a light to the nations so that redemption would go out to the earth. But this was never an idea of racism where one race is favored over another race. No, far from it. This was a means by which the peoples of the earth would be blessed, and that is very clearly why Abraham's name was changed to Abraham, father of many nations.
Yes, it was a spiritual promise. Thank you, Hank. God bless you. Keep up the good work, brother.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Pam, Due West, South Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Hank. I guess my first question is to see if you know about this. What is the early Christian literature? Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what that would pertain to. I mean, there's a lot of early Christian literature. Predominantly what you have is what we find in the Bible. This was literature that was circulated through the churches. It was endorsed by the early church fathers and certainly by the apostles, and therefore it became the very backbone of the Bible. Because in that literature, you would have a clear portrayal of that which was given to us in the Old Testament and now fulfilled in the New. But there's also early Christian literature that was pseudepigraphal. In other words, literature that was written by others not approved by the apostles, and therefore literature that did not have the same weight or import. It might have had some value, but it had to be read at least with a grain of salt, because much of that early Christian literature that came into vogue in the second and third century and so forth was Gnostic in its tendency, as opposed to being Christian in its tendency, and oftentimes regarded the flesh as evil, when the Bible clearly had the opposite opinion. In fact, the Bible ultimately points to the restoration of flesh, the resurrection of the body.
Okay, well then, I guess that's probably what I've been reading then, because I just seen this last night, and it says recently discovered additions to early Christian literature, and I clicked on the one that said apocalypses and romances, and then I went to the vision of Paul, which talks about the vision that Paul's seen in the third heaven, and it's like 10 pages. Well, it's more than 10 pages, but I got up to 10 pages, and my mouth just dropped open. I just couldn't, I didn't know whether it was scriptural or what.
No, it's pseudepigraphal. In other words, it's false scripture. It's not that which is ratified as canonical. And the canon is always, I mean, that's a word for measuring rod or rule. And there are measures or rules by which we discover what God intended to communicate, not by which we determine. It's determined by God, only discovered by men. And it's based on principles. And these kinds of pseudepigraphal books or literature do not meet the standard. Good talking to you, Pam. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jaron, Sandy Springs, Maryland, listening on the web. Hi, Jaron.
Hey, Hank. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate your show, man. I've been listening to you for a while and just studying up with some of the things that you researched. But my question was, how do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Because I've been worried about that for like a long period of time, and I kind of found myself coming to just a grip of just like, you know, putting it out of my mind. But as a child, I grew up in the church. I was saved at the age of 8, and you know, miraculously, by God's grace, I was saved when I was born, because I was born premature and I had 3 heart attacks. So, like, as a child, I always grew up within my mind that, you know, God has a plan for me. So when I got saved, that's kind of like the day that, you know, I kind of just, it was set in stone for me to think that way. But as I got older, I actually, like, you know, started reading a lot more, trying to understand other different things, and just false doctrines and philosophies, which I started to realize. But would it mean that I wasn't saved if I said that I didn't believe in Jesus at a time where I was trying to understand other ideas and philosophies or other kinds of truths that are not in the Bible? And that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
Well, if you are willing to repent of your sin and willing to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, then the Bible has something direct and specific to say to you. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, I can't read the intent of your heart. I can only hear your words. But if the intent of your heart is that you realize you're a sinner, you are willing to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are his and he is yours. So the problem of having committed the unpardonable sin does not apply to you. Secondly, let me say this, that the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin is not an act. It is a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection of the love and grace that could be yours. So if you are not now rejecting that, even though you may at some time in the past have rejected that, you have not committed the unforgivable sin. So you can take all worry and anguish out of your mind, you can erase it, and know that you are one for whom Jesus Christ died. He died so that men might live, but he gives you the opportunity of receiving his goodness and grace or rejecting it. You have chosen to receive it, and therefore you are one who has come into relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as you are willing to receive his grace, he is more than willing to offer you his grace. That's why he came. He didn't come to bring some technicalities whereby he could keep you out of the kingdom. He did all that could be done so that you could be reconciled to him for both time and for eternity. If you want this in a written form to assuage the doubt at some future period, because I know that some people are plagued by this doubt, stay on the line. We'll give you a written form that lays this out biblically and sequentially so you can have it and hold it and look at it and know that what I am saying is not my opinion. It is rooted in the text of Scripture. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit us at equip.org.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brian, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
It's super great to talk to you. Hey, I got a question. My wife and I, we visited Tangier Island, which is in the Chesapeake Bay of Virginia. And on this island, it's probably about 500 people population, and they had one Methodist church for the longest of time. And they got a female pastor in, and the church split because the islanders found out that the Methodist church was supporting Palestine, and when they split, the other half wanted to support the Jewish people. So I was wondering if you knew anything about certain Methodist denominations supporting Palestine.
Well, yeah, I mean, people have taken positions on this issue, but oftentimes in a way that doesn't support the biblical premise. And the biblical premise is that God is not pro-Palestine. He's pro-peace. He's not pro-Jew. He's pro-justice. The Bible knows nothing of dividing people on the basis of race. And further, one of the difficulties is you can never unscramble the egg. It is true that what happened when Jewish people went into Palestine after World War II, they caused what is now a historical phenomenon, and that is the largest displaced people group in the world. That just happens to be a reality. But you can't unscramble the egg. And I don't think that there's any way that we should suggest that Israel does not have a right to exist. And it is legitimate to support Israel when Israel supports the principles of God. But we should not support racism of any kind, and therein lies the problem. There are all kinds of people like Michael Evans or John Hagee who say Jerusalem only for the Jews, as though if you're an Arab Christian, you have no right to be in the land of Israel. You got to get out because you got to make room for the Jews, because as soon as we get all the Jews herded in the Holy Land, then we're going to have a Holy Land Holocaust and 2/3 of them are going to be killed and we get to be raptured. I mean, this is a really bad theology.
Gotcha. Yeah, but how would you be able to maybe minister to these people on the island to help them to stop the division that they are creating among themselves? Because one wants to support one and one wants to support the other.
Yeah, I think what's important, and I mean, I've written about this because I think it's so important in my book, The Apocalypse Code, so that this does not become a point of division, but rather becomes a quintessential sigh of relief where people go, "Ah, now I get it." This is dividing Christians. It is dividing denominations. It is causing a real possibility of lighting the fuse of Armageddon. So I want people to understand, what does the Bible really say? What is the geopolitical reality in truth as opposed to in propaganda?
Right. I totally agree, because, I mean, this is just another way for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy, just bringing in, like, something so minor as this for the church to split over, but it caused a great division among God's people.
Well, it's an important issue, and we're trying to bring the big issues to people's attention because this has real geopolitical ramifications. There are people who are wanting to get rid of the Dome of the Rock and build a new temple there, and you can imagine that that is something that would cause a Third World War. So what's happened is people are no longer in the bleachers, but they're on the playing field helping their point of view become a reality, and that reality could end up in a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Wow. Well, thanks a lot, Hank.
You got it, man. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I want to thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate your program and people you're reaching here.
Thank you.
Very, very much needed. I have a problem here that as far as alcohol and the home, in a biblical perspective of that, my wife that 4.5 years ago passed away, we firmly believed in no alcohol in the home, but now I recently remarried. The Lord brought a new wife to me, and there's a conflict year we've been married that the alcohol that's okay to drink in a home, we went for counseling. There's a difference in opinions in the pastors in the church I belong to that it's okay to drink at home and even out of the home socially. And what's brought up is always Jesus drank wine, and then Paul said that it's good for your stomach. But there's other parts in the Bible that says it's a brawler, it's a problem to have in your home. So my point is, I don't want it in a home, but I'm facing a conflict within our church with the pastors, just trying to get my point across. I don't know, am I wrong on persisting on that, or what's your thought on that?
Okay, well, it's a very good question. It's a very relevant question, and I'm going to have to answer this question in such a way to bring peace and harmony into the home as opposed to division. It is true, as you quoted from Proverbs chapter 20, that wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by them is not wise. That is true. That's a warning. But the warning there is a warning against getting drunk. And the reason I can say that with clarity is there are other passages in Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture dealing with the subject. For example, if you look at Proverbs 23, Solomon says, "Listen, my son, and be wise and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." The point of that passage is don't get drunk and don't be a glutton. And there's a reason for that. Your mind belongs to the Lord. It shouldn't be in an altered state of consciousness. You should be with clarity of thought. When you're in an altered state of consciousness, all kinds of bad things happen, including accidents, where you end up inadvertently killing someone because you've lost the ability to reason well. But gluttony is placed in the same context because we are also to be shepherds or stewards of the physical aspect of our humanity. So Paul takes up that same theme and he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Again, the admonition is against getting drunk. And so I cannot, on the basis of Scripture, say that wine or alcohol per se is bad. What I can say on the basis of Scripture is that getting drunk is an evil practice. wine is a blessing according to Scripture. I mean, you can see that in places like Psalm 104 or Isaiah 25. But if misused, it is a blight. The same thing is true with respect to food. Food is a blessing. But if you're a glutton, food becomes a blight. In fact, it hastens death as opposed to sustaining life. So the issue on the basis of Scripture is don't be a glutton and don't be a wine bibber. Now, you may want to take, in concert with your wife, you may, after counseling, want to take the position, we don't want wine in our home at all because it can become a temptation. We don't want to drink socially because it may become a stumbling block to someone else. That is a very legitimate position to take, but it's not necessary. It's not mandated. You would do it because, as a matter of conscience, you want to be the best possible witness as God leaves you in this world. And I hope and pray, John, that this does not become a bone of contention in your home, but rather becomes an opportunity for understanding and will be used as that so that your family might prosper at a time.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.